Moody's man. Not man, Moody's man. We're Moody's mamen.
Yep.
We're Moody's men, but this is about magazine on RTR.
Okay, good morning. This is Moorish Mag RTR FM 92.1 Noongar Radio in Great Southern to Minang people in Albany. Good to see you back, Tony.
Yeah, good to be back, Jim. And saw Nick yesterday. And
you replaced him, have you?
I told Nick, don't bother coming back.
Brother. Oh, okay. You've given him a leave pass.
Okay, yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, well, welcome to Moorish Mag for the next hour. And last week, you may recall, we talked about genocide in the Wildflower State. We're going to talk some more about that. Well, I hope it didn't shock you too much from what you heard last week. We're now working towards a launch of Genocide in the Wildflower State, 28th of April, at the Lunar Theatre. So I'm expecting all my listeners to say to me, or say to the radio station, look, we're going to come along and see some truth-telling at its best. If you haven't heard the word genocide before, well, that's what it was all about. All the papers, all the research suggests that removal of children in Australia, bring out the colour policy, was all about genocide. Make up your own mind, but certainly if you've got a comment to make, yay or nay, 0405 921 921 is our text line. And, of course, if you'd like to make a comment, talk to us at studio@rtrfm.com.au. You may find the discussion we had a little bit stressful, but hey, it's about truth-telling. So today we're talking some more about that. What is genocide? I mean, the Wildflower State. Of course, the wildflowers in WA are world-renowned, aren't they, Tony? People visit from all over the world to come and see the wildflowers in WA.
Oh, yeah, right across the state, from the north to the southwest.
Mm. Today also we're talking to Reconciliation WA on another note around Albany. And so stay tuned, because we're talking about Albany as a place-based reconciliation action plan. What does that mean? So we'll be talking to Jodie Nunn and Jade Thompson from Reconciliation West Australia. If you don't know what reconciliation is all about, well, tune in a little later. No, better still, stay tuned and we'll talk some more about reconciliation, what it means, what it means to me, what it means to you, and particularly now that, well, we had an event in October last year. We won't talk too much about that, because I think that stresses people out too. When you talk about trauma triggers, I think that day was a real trauma.
Yeah, massive trauma, I think it was. I think a bit of a tsunami around the world, and I think the world was watching.
Wow. Well, I wouldn't have likened it to tsunami, but you're probably right there.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, that time, Jim, coming home from the Middle East, leaving Abu Dhabi, there was 5,000 people from all over the globe, and they were watching Australia.
Watching
wow. To see if Australia would right the rights for their First Nations people.
Okay, so we're talking reconciliation also between now and middle of May. And even beyond, reconciliation starts after Sorry Day this year. Sorry Day is the anniversary of the Handing Down the Bring Them Home report in Canberra on the 26th of May 1997, and follows on with Reconciliation Week. And a lot of reconciliation discussions are taking place that week, and we hope that you get involved. If not, ask some questions. Talk to us on 0405 921 921. We'd be happy to respond in any way we can. So keep it locked, Moorish Mag 92.1. We'll go to a song and come back and enlighten you some more on the real world of First Nations people in Australia. If you just tuned in from Minang country or Whadjuk country, this is RTR FM's Moorish Mag. We're talking genocide, and there is a website too if you'd like to find out more, www.genocide.com. Wildflower State, words to that effect, and we'll keep you posted on the progress of launching the particular documentary on the 28th of April. And, of course, to our listeners in Albany, 10th of May. Just news from the station manager. There's going to be a screening of RTR FM members, that is, presenters, etc. So tune in, or keep in tune with Facebook RTR FM, and you as our members, as our listeners, and people involved in RTR FM volunteers, you'll get a special screening. Look, write it down. It is something that's worthwhile you seeing, and it is all about truth telling. Of you know, from the basics, really, taking children away, breeding us out, you know, ensuring that we were part of the White Australia policy, words to that effect, and more, because in the next little while, talking about what it means for us and, you know, what it should mean for you as far as truth-telling. It's we haven't come a long way in Australia, I don't believe, around truth-telling. Certain factors in the last few months have indicated that we need to learn more, we need to know more, and know more as in understanding the oldest living culture on this planet. So, hey, who was that just saying?
That was Guru by Moondar Up, I think it is.
Okay. Mm. New sounds there. We'll try and introduce new sounds, but being old folk, that is over 50, we're tending to think more about our old fella songs. You know, if you want young people's song, we'll go doof doof somewhere else. Okay, so there's opportunities for that, and we'll play some new music a little later. So, as I said, last week's program, we had executive producers, Tony Hansen, moi, looking at him now, myself, moi, and Alan Carter, who's co-chair with Alan on the Bring Them Home Committee, Perth, and we're organisations that work together striving for better lives for those people that were stolen and removed, hence genocide in the Wildflower State. And in the second half of the show today, talking reconciliation, what that means. Love for you to think about that. Love for you to think what you know or what you think about reconciliation, given your favourite radio station, RTR FM 92.1, has got a reconciliation action plan. So what does that mean for you as a listener? You might like to have some views. Please express them, 0405 921 921. So, following on from last week and leading up until the 28th of April, and for Albany listeners, the 10th of May, you'll be hearing more about the production, and the venue in Albany was only confirmed this week. Lunar Theatre has been confirmed now for a little over a week, so we've got some dates for you to consider, and love for listeners to come along and be part of, well, what people have said. I've already said, a senior man in, Minang man in Albany said, oh, because I'm his relation, he said, this is one of the best documentaries I've ever seen. So there you go. If you're listening to RTR FM, come along when the time is right. But make sure if you're a listener and a member, stay in tune with the radio station at RTR FM 92.1, because there'll be some special screenings coming up for you between now and the 28th of April. Playing more music here. I guess for me and Tony here, my co-host here, some of the subject matter is probably a little distasteful, probably a little bit hurtful in some ways. But, Tony, it's the truth.
Yeah, Jim, it is. And I think it's also, for some people, it might be a little bit uncomfortable. But I think it's really important that, as I've always said, Jim, Australia and Australians have the right to know the truth.
Mm.
And this is the truth. This is that, these are stories that have been covered up by government, past and present governments over the years and decades throughout the last 200 years since settlement. And I think It's an indictment if we don't do the right thing, and we don't tell the truth and share the true knowledge with our listeners and the wider community of Australia. So it's important that we share this knowledge, and we share and take them on a journey with us to educate them. And we know that these policies impacted children all over the globe.
Ah, too true, too true. It is something that some people don't want to listen to and don't want to hear. Hey, a big shout out to Alan Carpenter. Talking to him this morning. He lives in Albany, and he's really interested in knowing, well, he's actually seen the snippet, seen the trailer of genocide in the Wildflower State, and probably a little concerned himself that he's seen it now, and he would like to see it some more and see it screened, but probably a little concerned because he was an ex-politician and premier. And the concerns he has is, you know, people will say to me, well, all people will be saying, why didn't he do more when he was premier? Now, that's a fair comment. That's a fair comment because, you know, you expect a lot of politicians. Think about Peter Garrett for a moment. Think about others that were instrumental in politics but then left politics and felt they could be our saviours. Mm-hmm. That's not suggesting Alan Carpenter's a saviour. You know, he's admitted that he could have done more.
Mm.
So I might get him on the station at some point to have a yarn about what his life, what's life after Premier.
Yeah, yeah.
And living on Minang country. So he's a good friend of the producer, Frank Rikovic. So, yeah, he tells me that today. They've been pals for a long time. And Frank, as you know, from last week's show, was the executive, not producer. He was director of... the movie. We've got to get our terms right now. We're executive producers. He can't be another executive producer. He was a cameraman. So there may be director-producer. No, I've got to get these terms right. Anyway, so Frank Rikovic has recommended we talk to Alan Carpenter at some point, and that might happen between now and launch day on the 28th of May. We're going to keep talking about it because it is so important for us. We'll keep talking genocide. Look it up if you don't know what that means. Genocide in the Wildflower State, and I think you know what wildflower is. Yeah, WA is famous for its wildflowers, and people come from all over the world to check out the Eneabba Plains and down in the south, the old Boronia, Kangaroo Paul, you name it. There's wildflowers galore. We're going to go into some more music and a little later talking to Reconciliation WA's CEO, and that's Jody Nunn and Jade Thompson. Let's go to a song.
That was Olive Knight, If My Father and My Mother.
Well, that was before the, before the announcements, talking about Yokai and stolen wages. And if you do go to the Yokai website, it's been a little... We've been developing it further, and as you know, I'm involved in Yokai, Healing Our Spirit, trademark for the West Australian Stolen Generation Aboriginal Corporation. If you want to know more, go to Yokai... www.yokai.healing, I think it is. Something like that. Anyway, you go to Yokai, you'll find it, but you might get mixed up with watchers and zombies and Japanese people, but there you go. If you go Yokai Healing, you'll find us.
Or the footy show, Jim.
No, we won't talk about football show, Yokai. So that's our website, and of course Stolen Wages is very much on the lips of our people. Because stolen wages was something that was taken from us. 75% of our wages was kept in trust from a lot of our people. And hopefully there's going to be some redress, some closure for those people. Shine Lawyers did a wonderful thing by winning a class action. But a lot of people say, well, they're throwing us a bone yet again. So it's all about equality, truth-telling, and understanding why all this has taken place, why Aboriginal people are so disadvantaged, why Aboriginal people, and particularly stolen generation people, there's another gap. You talk about gaps. There's close the gap, which is what Reconciliation Week is all about, Tony. And there's some challenges for it, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, definitely challenges. I guess challenges just to acknowledge and, you know, acknowledge that there is another gap. And the other gap is the stolen generation people. And we know that government does not acknowledge that in their reports and... it's something that we've got to continue to fight for because there's a gap within a gap.
Hey, a big shout out to Bill Hayward. We had a meeting with him this week.
Yes. And
what was that about?
It was about trying to set up some opportunity to talk more about truth-telling and share knowledge with staff at the Bankshear Detention Centre. And I think it's a great opportunity, Jim, for the work that we do here in Yokai. And I think, Will's really embracing it, and I think Will is leading the way in this space at the moment.
We're talking to Yong Kong out there. Bankshear Hill's got a few challenges ahead of himself, taking on the role of Aboriginal programs at the Bankshear Hill Detention Centre. That's got a lot of media in recent times, and even going back to 2018 when the first riot from inmates of a youth detention centre, and more recently a riot where the young people got onto the roof and, well, had firearms pointed at them. And a lot has been said about the way issues are dealt with for young people. And consequently, there's in the section or division, is it Division 18?
Yeah. Yep, Division 18.
Another story. Let's not sidetrack. It's they're very important issues, but just important to consider that yours truly, myself and Tony Hansen, have been invited to Bankshear Hill to do some truth-telling. And for staff there to understand, you know, the issues that First Nation peoples are dealing with, and probably a better understanding as to why young people are the way they are in detention. So a bit of a frightening experience going into a place like that. How did you find it?
Look, I found it interesting. I think for me it's a great opportunity when you see these doors open and you get that opportunity to come in and talk. And again, you know, you look at trauma, then you look at intergenerational trauma, you look at first, second and third generations of removal. And I think it's about educating our young people, but it's also educating our wider community that are working in these spaces so that they get a better understanding too. What they're dealing with when they're working with young people and teenagers. So for me, I see it as a no-brainer, Jim, and I think it's a great opportunity, and I'd like to see that, you know, from management, from the commissioner down, that all of the staff participate in this program and this opportunity to learn more, because it'll only enhance their development and enhance their engagement with the young people that they're working closely with.
Well, we got it. We got it from the straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak, this week, where Bill and others have said that all the Aboriginal children that are incarcerated at Bankshear Hill Detention Centre have old people that were removed. Mm. They have old people that were stolen from their country, stolen from their communities, stolen from their culture. So therein lies an issue around intergenerational trauma and how the effects of trauma are passed on. Dare I say, through your DNA, that's another topic. Mm. That's another topic. Mm. So if you just tuned in, this is Murich Mag, 92.1 Noongar Radio on Whadjuk Country and Great Southern FM on Minang Country in Albany. Let's go to a song, because a little later we're talking reconciliation. What does reconciliation mean to you? Hey, if you have thoughts, tell me what you think about reconciliation. 0405 921 921. That's 0405 921 921.
That was Diama by Ripple Effect. And the first song we had was Fitzroy Express, Long Summer Nights. And I bet you the beat was going while people were listening to that song and reflecting back on Fitzroy Express.
Bit of country there, but it was really old and the new, because Ripple Effect are quite new. And you see the way they ended that song with a bit of language. Oh, that's it. Goosebumps down my back. And, oh, look, too good. Yeah, if you just tuned in, this is Murich Mag, old and new. Talking about old and new, well, Tony calls me uncle, so I'm the old and he must be new. RTRFM 92.1, Murich Mag, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. Great to have you on the phone joining us at Murich Mag. Jade Thompson, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Happy to hear you. I've also got RTO Jody Nunn here as well. Keen to chat and say good day.
Good morning, Jody.
Good morning. How are you today?
Oh, look, we're on top of the world, me and Tony. Nick Abraham's taking some leave to undertake some assignments. Jodie Hoffman's going to be joining us next week because I'll be in Kalgoorlie. So welcome to the show.
Hello.
Tony, say hello to Jaden.
Good morning, Jaden. Jodie.
Thanks for joining us. Moodish Mag is a weekly show, good news stuff. Sometimes we touch on a little bit bad news, but not often. We try and lead that to the mainstream media. We just do the good stuff, truth-telling, etc. And truth-telling is all about reconciliation, isn't it, Jade and Jodie?
I think it's definitely a fundamental part if we're going to be moving forward together as a nation. And I am very appreciative of being in this space and, you know, looking forward to moving conversations along and responding to that in time as we go as well.
Good, glad you can join us. So firstly, let's do the basics. Who are you mobbing? Where are you from, Jade?
Well, my mob are Hume, Fennell and Abraham Philly on my dad's side, so Wilwin and Wadjuk connections on Noongarrabulja. And I grew up in Headland, so I was pretty much raised as a Pilbara kid. Come back down home when I was about 21, 22, studied. I got my three babies down here now, so that's been wonderful and connected back in.
Good.
And Jody?
Good. You're no longer a Pilbara kid then, you're a Wadjuk kid. Is that right?
I know, but red dirt runs deep, you know.
Good on you. Okay, Jodie Nunn, CEO of Reconciliation West Australia. Who's your mob and where are you from?
So I'm a first-generation settler here, Uncle Jim, and I know that comes with a lot of responsibility to, I would actually say, for us, it's about truth listening, and that's the job we've got to do going forward. But I also know as a first-generation settler that I have to walk gently on this Budja for thousands of generations before me who've cared for country, so I just want to acknowledge all the elders, past, present and emerging.
And me thinking earlier that I'm going to get you on the show, Moodish Mag, here, 92.1, for a five-minute chat. I suspect it's going to be longer. How do you feel about a long yarn? It might have a song in between that you might like to play. Yeah? Stick around for a while?
We're always up with a yarn first.
Yeah, so we've got Jodie Nunn, CEO, Chief Executive Officer of Reconciliation West Australia, and Jade Thompson, who is coordinator of what? Truth-telling, eh?
Well, I'm the project lead for Respect Rising. So about a year and a half ago, Reconciliation WA found themselves in a strong position to be able to start to reach out into the regions. We've been very strong in Boorloo for the last 10 years, building good networks and relationships and getting a firm footing. And doing some really amazing work and being able to go out into the regions makes us Reconciliation WA. So we're in a really good spot to be able to do that. So I've seen the opportunity come up for the regionalisation strategy work coming in, and I'm like, well, that's fantastic. And I also saw it as a fantastic opportunity to, you know, give the community potentially something to come back together on post-referendum.
Good.
And as it's transpired, I'm so grateful that it was there as an opportunity to do it, given the place we find ourselves now. And I guess Reconciliation WA is really, and the board and leadership have really, you know, backed in this piece of work as a huge strategic priority, which I'm glad and grateful for, because it really gives us an opportunity now to go out across the state and start to look at what the different regional reconciliation landscapes are looking like, and to help us inform a statewide canvas for reconciliation going forward that's, you know, that's formed by our community. I think that's an amazing baseline for us to go from going forward and really understanding, you know, where to from here.
Good on you, Jay. Over to you, Jodie. You know, Jade's talked about relationships. There's a bit more to it. Give us a bit of background as to what the work you do and what sort of ingredients are part of a reconciliation action plan, please.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. And can I also acknowledge too that yourself and Alan Carter obviously were the founding board members and chairs and of Reconciliation WA, and you built the base that we're continuing to grow from now. But of course, in a Reconciliation Action Plan, there's three big pillars, and the first is respect. The second is relationships, and the third is opportunity. And I always talk about that, you know, when we work with MOB, we really need to invest in respect and relationships, because let's face it, we haven't always done a good job of that in the past. And if those fundamentals aren't there, it's really hard to move to opportunity, because, as we say, reconciliation moves at the speed of trust. And if the trust isn't there, it doesn't move. So, and we know we've had a bit of a trust deficit over the referendum, and we've got heavy lifting to do, and we're committed to doing that. And as we say, we stand in solidarity with MOB, and we know we've got work to do to demonstrate that going forward. So this project is very much tied into that, but it means that Reconciliation WA isn't just Reconciliation Perth. We really want to be truly Reconciliation WA, but be invited by community to come in and support their efforts at a local level.
Good. Give us an example of the pillars. What is respect? What is relationships? And what is opportunities? In your, you know, just a quick summary of what pillars mean.
Yeah. So respect, let's say respect for our history, respect for our cultures and our shared history as well, going, you know, down into deep time to present day. We need a start our conversations and our relationships from that grounding, where we can see Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures celebrated and respected across this country, and they become a valued piece of who we are as a nation. And to do that, you know, we have to scale up. We have to have deep learning and listening and really define what that looks like. So, you know, how do we like to talk to each other and how we engage, and because that sustains the relationships piece. And I guess that's the work to do in respect. It's like, what are we doing? How do we do it? And I think through Respect Rising, that's what we're seeking to understand across the state.
This is a bit to think about for our listeners. If you've got any thoughts, as I say, on reconciliation, give us a text on 0405921921. So there you have it. Respect, relationships and opportunities. Opportunities, I don't think we covered there, did we? Did we talk about what opportunities might consist of? Is that employment or better engagement?
Well, in the national framework for reconciliation, which comes off, I guess, the back of the reconciliation decade, which is 1990 to 2000, the body of work was done to sort of understand how we can consider reconciliation in a framework. So there is the five different dimensions of reconciliation, and we look at unity, historical acceptance, race relations, institutional integrity, and historical acceptance. So those different domains intersect across the different pillars as well, which are relationships, respect and opportunities. So when we look at opportunities, we talk about social, cultural and economical opportunities, and opportunities, you know, for two-way sharing and learning. So through our networks and through our actions and our movements, we like to think about, okay, how can we create social opportunities? Is that opportunities for education, to connect, to share, to learn and understand, so we can foster and maintain respect? Is it, you know, economic? Are there things we can do within reconciliation action plans in our own sphere of influence through our organisations and our roles, where we can actually promote and, you know, support sustainable economic pathways, whether that be employment or, you know, Aboriginal business supply and procurement? So there's all these kind of strategies that are drawn out through these different framework for reconciliation. And then we look at cultural, economic opportunities around how do we find opportunities within the social sphere to also highlight, celebrate, respect and value our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander histories and cultures, and also how do we do the same for our shared collective history. I think that education piece is really fundamental, and we're hearing that through our Respect Rising program. We know that if we start that education early, and the early childhood providers do an incredible job in this state, and then we weave that through the primary school curriculum, which of course many of us never had. And so I know myself, my Aboriginal history lesson was one Friday afternoon for an hour. So we know we have improvements to make there, but there's lots of progress being made right through to adult education. And that was really demonstrated with the outcome of the referendum. There was a lot of it was just people just did not know And there was a lot of misinformation. And if we had a more informed community, we would have got a very different outcome.
So true. Look, before we go to a break then, tell us how it's progressing nationally. Reconciliation Action Plans have been developed, and how many organisations are on board throughout the country before we go to a song? Jade?
Sure, yeah, I can share that with you, Jim. So before COVID, or I said BC, we had 1,100 RATs across the country, and just a couple of months ago it tipped over 3,000. And now that covers 25% of Australia's workforce for organisations people are studying in. Now, that's a fantastic shift, but we can't rest until 100% coverage exists. So there's still a way to go. And I think what that says is that people are really thinking post-referendum, how can we as individuals and families and community members all make a difference? Because as we advocate, reconciliation is everyone's business, not just the CEOs or the working groups. It has to have touch points with everyone to make the change that we need. So we're definitely, we'd spend a lot of time with organisations on their journeys and enabling and connecting the reconciliation community because it's not competitive, you know. Everyone shares their knowledge and information and tries to rise the tide for all.
Right. Look, let's go to a song because I want to come back and talk some more about what place-based rap means and the challenges there. Let's go to a song. Hopefully you can stick on the line and talk some more.
Of course.
And that was Merinda's Complicated.
Oh, started off in Perth and now in Melbourne. Or did they say Nam as opposed to Burley? Yeah, there were Merindas there. Started off their trade here in Western Australia at the launch of the Sapphires movie. Welcome back, Jade and Jodie.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Tom. Trying to think through my little brain as to the redemption or reconciliation songs. I know we got on the system there, but do you think can you help me?
Oh, you've got to play Treaty. Come on, Jim.
That sounds like a plan. That sounds like a plan. Treaty coming up. Okay, Jade Thompson and Jodie Nunn from Reconciliation West Australia have been talking to us about generally what is reconciliation and talked about some of the pillars. Let's talk place-based. What does that mean and the challenges there? Because I know Albany has been identified nationally to be a place-based RAP. What does it mean?
So with our work in Albany, we've been pretty fortunate to try and look at how we can be more responsive in the national framework for reconciliation. Currently and historically, you know, reconciliation action plans are kind of isolated within the organisation that was committing to that RAC plan, right? So that didn't always translate to, I guess, immediate or obvious returns in the communities in which people operate, and doesn't actually allow much room for responsiveness. It's much more broad. So we've been undergoing a journey through a pilot program where we're looking at co-designing a potential place-based framework for reconciliation. And what that could do is modify, I guess, the national, upon a successful pilot, model I guess, into the existing RAP plans, ways that we can actually take action on the community interests. So we're looking at ways that we can connect the people in communities and be responsive to the local needs and how we can facilitate that in a respectful way. And in order to do that, we are getting a cross-section of the community together as a really strong group of people with diverse interests, representations, and areas of expertise and lived experience. So it's quite an open and broad process, which we hope we can bring everybody into to sort of define what a place-based reconciliation action plan could be for that community.
Right.
So we're in the early parts of that, and we've been incredibly overwhelmed with the support that we've had today, and that, you know, we've shared some really great time out together, you know, on country and in sessions, and we've travelled through Katanning down to Albany, and I'll be back down that way again at the end of next month, hoping to track our way through Nawangga up and hold another session for that pilot. So any mob down that way, if they want to get in touch to come in into this process, please reach out. So that's where we're at the moment with that.
Good. You mentioned organisations that have reconciliation action plans. Does that then, can other organisations who aren't thinking reconciliation action plan, can they participate in such an event or such an activity, do you think?
Yeah, so that's where we see the beauty of having a place-based reconciliation action plan, because that means we can actually open this process up to people that couldn't typically, you know, get involved, whether organisations have different sort of entity structures that doesn't allow them to, you know, take on a RAP if that model doesn't fit. But if there's a community-developed place-based action plan, well, there might be some deliverables that the community have identified in that process that, you know, certain groups could come into and co-deliver on some of those different priorities. So it's really about connecting community and optimising our collective impacts and making sure that's done towards the community-identified priority in the region.
So so there's been some discussion. When do you see that actually being put in place? Is that still a way off?
Yep. So I'll hand over to Jade.
Yeah, so this plan, the reason, and one of the main reasons for selecting the Great Southern Region, Jim, was because, of course, there's the 2026 horizon work around the first of the state bicentenary. Now, we know for mob that isn't a celebration or even a date that they really think is worth, you know, it has some challenges to it, of course. But we also want to make change during this period as well. And there's a real commitment to the process from a number of the LGAs that are working on that. And I'm really pleased to share that the City of Albany is nearing the completion of their first RAP. And that's really been exciting to support them on that journey and to prioritise reconciliation on their agenda as well. So we're looking at that there will be significant, the process with community leading to a really clear outcome to be aligned to the 2026 activities and most importantly beyond, because what we want to do is see those changes going forward so some of those really stubborn issues can start to get ironed out.
Wow. So they've, you say it's going to be launched, that is the Albany City Council's RAP will be launched sometime soon? You're saying?
They're working toward that launch between National Reconciliation Week and NAIDOC Week. So we've been working with them on that journey. And, of course, Albany had the Aboriginal Accord, which was a really important process for them and one of the earliest cities to have an accord. But and they've done a lot of work in the reconciliation space. They've had very large dual place naming programs. And, of course, they're working and walking alongside the community on what 2026 might look like.
Right.
And, of course, I'm not on the ground down there, but they have been working on that. And so this is another stream. And, of course, as well, the Southwest Settlement, which offers a real wonderful opportunity for economic development of the region for MOP. So this is another stream with the Reconciliation Place-Based RAP to really strengthen the work between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people on the ground in the Great Southern.
Right, we've got 2 minutes to go on the show, Jade. So where can listeners at Great Southern FM, how can they be involved? Do they get in touch with you, ring you, or go to the Reconciliation WA website? What's the best way for Albany, Minang, Gorang people to be involved?
Absolutely. Yeah, so on our Reconciliation WA website, so at recwa.org.au, there's a Respect Rising landing page. On that, we've actually got registration links for both Respect Rising and also contact information on there for getting in touch with us, like place reconciliation in the Great Southern.
Lovely.
So that information's on our site, and I'm very keen to hear from anybody that wants to connect in or, you know, learn a bit more about what we're doing with community alongside the reconciliation journey.
Thank you, Jodie. We're going to go to news now. Jodie and Jade from Reconciliation West Australia, thank you so much for being on the show. We're going to drag you back again sometime in the future, because we're Reconciliation or RTR are very keen to be involved, because they've got their own Reconciliation Action Plan. We're going to say goodbye. Tony?
Goodbye, Jodie, and goodbye, Jade. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for being on the show. This is Mortgage Mag signing out.
Thank you. Bye.